Good morning. Welcome to worship together along with brothers and sisters in Christ gathered here this morning in our house of worship to lift up God and to praise his name. And I want to extend a special welcome to everyone who's here, particularly to celebrate with John and Brittany as we are baptizing their son Talon today, or celebrating in both word and in sacrament the goodness of our God this morning. So, brothers and sisters, we begin with our call to worship from Psalm 104, which says, Lord, our God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. We will sing to the Lord all our life. We will sing praise to our God as long as we live. May our meditation be pleasing to him as we rejoice in the Lord. We're glad to have you here with us in worship, and may God's Spirit meet you here. As we lift up his name together, let's rise and join in our opening praise.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Blessing and honor,
glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. None can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue shall declare your glory.
Well, as God has welcomed us into his presence to see his glory and his goodness, to lift up praise, we also come in times of silence and asking God through his Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to continue to do his work of molding and forming us to being more like Christ. And so we have, as time of worship, also a time for confession, to come to God and lay down our burdens of guilt and sin, to admit the places where we have not followed, where we have not been what God desires us to be, but coming knowing the grace of God, who always holds out to us the promise of forgiveness, the promise to be washed clean through the sacrifice of our Lord, the promise that we are known and loved by him through his Holy Spirit transforming us as our lives go forward. And so in this time of silence, I invite you to lift up a prayer of confession, be honest before God, and wait to hear his word of grace and mercy to you. Let's pray together. Friends, hear the good news. The Apostle John says, if we say we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Friends, believe the good news. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his promise is that through his sacrifice, we have been washed clean, that we are welcomed by his strength, by his love in the presence of God to receive his goodness and grace as sons and daughters of God. Lord, or friends, through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. As we receive that promise of grace as believers, we also celebrate God's goodness to one another. So let's rise and welcome one another in the peace that Christ has won for us. Peace be with you all. As I said to begin, as God has gathered us together, we get to enjoy many of God's blessings, his goodness to us. And in particular, we celebrate the sacrament of baptism as God has continued to sow new life in our community. We're particularly thankful for John and Brittany and Talon today. Talon looks very eager to get up here. But we continue to celebrate what God is doing in our midst through people of all ages, trusting his Holy Spirit, working in all of us and through us as a body. And so we look forward to welcoming Talon through following the footsteps of Christ through baptism. And so we begin this sacrament founded in the words of our Lord, who says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." And Jesus promises, "See, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Baptism is a sign and a seal of God's promises to this covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, and to send the Holy Spirit to daily renew and refresh and to cleanse us and to resurrect us to eternal life. Water cleanses, purifies, and renews. Jesus Christ is the living water. And so through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience, to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life. And yet for each of us, as we live out that baptismal promise, when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, for baptism is a sign and a seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us. And invite Daryl Kotzma to come and present Talon, John, and Brittany as a representative of our consistory.
On behalf of the Board of Elders, I present John and Brittany Roberts, who bring their son, Talon James Roberts, to receive the sacrament of baptism. In presenting your child for baptism, you announce your love for Jesus Christ, your eagerness to participate in the life of Christ's body, the church, and your commitment to live as Christ's disciples in the world. With joy, we celebrate together the gift of God's grace in Christ.
And so, John and Brittany, I'll begin with you. Since you're presenting Talon for baptism, we ask you as his parents to, before God and his people, reject sin and profess your faith in Jesus Christ. And so trusting in God's powerful grace, do you declare your opposition to sin and evil and its power in this world? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and trust the promises God has made to you in his word? Do you promise to teach Talon the truth of God's word and to pray for and the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? And do you promise to pray for Talon and to teach him to pray and to train him in Christ's way by your example through worship and fellowship with this church?
We will, and we ask God to help us.
And I'm going to ask you all, as the members of this church community, as family and friends, to rise and to confirm your part in John and Brittany's role in Talon's life. Friends, do you promise to love and pray for John and Brittany and to encourage them by being examples of Christian faith and character?
We do.
Do you promise to offer the strong support of God's family to Talon, along with his parents, in your fellowship, prayer, and service?
We do.
Let's join in confessing the faith, the words of the Heidelberg Catechism. Got to move through a few. Two more. Another one. There we go. All right. Friends, what is your only comfort in life and in death?
That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ.
He has fully paid for all our sins with his precious blood and has set us free from the tyranny of the devil.
He also watches.
In fact, all things must work together for our salvation. Because we belong to him,
Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures us of eternal life and makes us wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of water. In the beginning of creation, your spirit moved over the waters, and through the waters of the flood, you destroyed evil. You led the children of Israel through the sea into the freedom of the promised land. And in the river Jordan, John baptized our Lord, and your spirit anointed him. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ, the living water, frees us from sin and death and opens the way to life everlasting. We thank you, God, for the gift of baptism. In this water, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death, raised to share his resurrection, and are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Pour out on us your Holy Spirit so that those here baptized may be washed clean and receive new life. To you be all honor, glory, dominion, and power forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Talon, you want to join me over here? It's an exciting day for you to get to see what God is already doing in your life and to promise to continue to be there a part of it as God continues. And so, Talon, the testimony of the gospel is for you. Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he died and he conquered death. He did this all for you, even though you don't know it yet. We love because he first loved us. Talon, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May by his grace and Holy Spirit you come to know this promise more and more, and to know the one who loves you. Amen. Yeah. Let's pray again. Gracious God, in your love and mercy, you have adopted us as your children through Jesus Christ. From the riches of your grace, bless Talon with knowing you as Father, living new life in Christ and developing the gifts of your Spirit. Help us all to nurture Talon as a citizen of your kingdom, as together we wait with all creation for the final coming of your kingdom in new heaven and a new earth. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now receive Talon into the visible membership of Christ's church. I charge you to nurture him, love him, and assist his parents in guiding him as Christ's faithful disciple. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you into Christ's church, for we are all one in Christ. We promise to love, encourage, and support you, and to help you know and follow Jesus. Welcome, Talon. We're going to continue on now in hearing the word. We're going to begin with the children's message, but we're going to again ask God through the prayer of illumination to make us open, to make us ready to receive what he has for us today. So let's pray together in the prayer of illumination. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you do in our lives. And Lord, we know that you are always at work first before we even realize it. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that Talon gives us of that, that before he was ever aware, Lord, we believe that you are already working in him, Lord, beginning to show him in the way he can understand the light of your love, your goodness, and your truth. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us, wherever we are in the stages of our walk with you, Lord, that you would use this time, Lord, you would make your word come alive so that we would hear not just human reflections, but Lord, we would hear a word from our God, our creator, the savior of our souls. Lord, make this holy time. Lord, capture our attention. And Lord, may it be you who speaks to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the kids up now to join me up here for the children's message. Sometimes you got to learn how to move around. That's an important thing. Because I also know there are some people here who normally sit up here, and they're all over the place now. That's great. Morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Got a few more. We got some spots over here. If you want to sit down here, you can carve yourself out a spot. I think everybody's pretty nice around here. So, those of you who've been around for a while know that I just keep on bringing this laundry basket out because we have been talking about clothes a lot. We've been talking specifically not just about the clothes we wear, but about things that Jesus wants us to take off and to put on as we live our lives. And today, I brought something that we probably are going to have to start wearing sometime soon. I know, it's getting a little bit colder. We got gloves here, right? But as I was thinking about them today, we don't always wear gloves just because it's cold. There are some other times that we wear gloves. And so, yeah, can you already got ideas. What do you got? When you're cutting down a tree, that's right. What do you got?
Gardening.
Yep. Oh, that was a good one. what do you got?
Biking.
Biking. Yep. So there are a lot of reasons that we can wear gloves. Now, this is one that I'm hoping has never been something that you have needed to do. But in a show or a TV or a movie, have you ever seen like a robber sneak into somebody's house and they're going to steal something? Have you ever seen them put on gloves in order to sneak in and to steal something? Yeah. That's right. So they don't get evidence. That's why people, if they're gonna rob something, they usually wear gloves, because many times our fingers will leave fingerprints, right? And that's the way detectives sometimes can catch robbers. And so if someone's creeping in to steal something, maybe they'll put on some gloves. Now, I'm pretty sure, I hope that's never been an issue for you guys, right? Because today I'm going to talk about something that seems kind of obvious. Like I said, we've been talking a little bit about some of these things that Jesus teaches us through our habits and our attitudes, that we put off some of these things, kind of like the dirty or stinky clothes that we might have, and instead we want to put on a new life, new attitudes, new habits that are more like Jesus. And today the Bible talks a little bit about stealing. Now, do any of you need me to tell you that stealing is a bad thing? You probably already knew that, right? Yeah, we all kind of know taking things that aren't ours is not a good thing to do. But have you ever felt it like, it's kind of tempting? Every once in a while, I think we can see something and we go, ooh, I wonder if anyone would know if I just took that for myself. I think we've all felt that in our hearts. Even if we say, no, we shouldn't do that, we know it's wrong. And the truth is, all of us have to deal with an attitude that we can get in our hearts, even if we don't act on it, is an attitude that says, what I want is what's most important. I want to take care of me. And sometimes we can get this attitude that the most important thing is, I'm going to take care of me. And so I'm going to take that thing. We may not go around stealing things. I'm hoping you guys don't do that. But every time, we have to wrestle with that attitude sometime that says, what I want is what's most important. So if to give you an example, if you've ever been in a place where maybe you're going to get some food and there's only two slices of pizza left and you and your friend are going there and you get there first, is it stealing if you take the bigger slice and leave the smaller slice for your friend? Is that stealing? No, not really. But if you did that over and over again, every time you came, you always took the bigger slice and let your friend have the smaller slice, would that be a very nice thing? No, that wouldn't be a very good, friendly thing to do. And so it's not quite stealing, but we have to be aware of that thing, that attitude that says, what I want is most important, and what other people want, not quite as important. And so even if stealing isn't a problem for us, we do have to say, do I want to be the kind of person that always thinks about what do I want first? Which is why the Bible in Ephesians says this. It says, anyone who has been stealing must never steal again. Instead, they must work. They must do something useful with their own hands. Then they will have something to give to the people in need. So the Bible tells us that if we look at our hands, God designed our hands not just to take things for me, but also that I have a role of being useful to other people too. And for any of us, Jesus is always our best example of things. So if we think about what we know about Jesus, do you think Jesus was the kind of person who was always saying, what's most important is what I want. I'm gonna take what I want. Does that sound like Jesus? No, I don't think so. No, we know that Jesus actually served people in all kinds of ways. And so if I think about gloves, do you think Jesus had dark gloves for creeping in and stealing things? No, right? Instead, I think Jesus probably more often needed some work gloves, you know, maybe like the ones we do in the garden, because Jesus seemed like he was always doing work for other people. We know that Jesus would lay his hands on people. and that he would be able to heal them. Or sometimes Jesus would use his hands to hand out food to people who were hungry. Sometimes he lifted up people who had just been healed, but their legs wouldn't work, and he could give them on their feet again. Or sometimes he just laid a hand on them to tell them they'd been forgiven by God. And so Jesus shows us that our hands aren't just for what can I get for myself, but he showed us God made our hands to be useful and to serve. And so what Jesus shows us is also what we want, is not to have the gloves that just say, oh, how about I get what I want? But instead to say, God, how can you make my hands useful? And if we think about that in our lives, maybe that means the next time you do go to the pizza box and there's only two slices left, you go, I don't have to take the biggest one every time. Maybe I do let my friend have the bigger piece that I think not just about me, but about them. Or I will tell you, if you really want to impress your parents, maybe you could tell them sometimes, hey, is there anything useful I could do? Something I can help with? And I bet you if you do that, they'll be so impressed, they'll probably give you something pretty easy to do. Those are the things that we can say, God, I want you to make my hands, not just for mine, but how can I be useful? Because that's what Jesus has done for us. And that's how we fulfill what God wants of us, to not just think, how can I use my hands for myself, but how did God design my hands to be able to serve others and to show his love to others? And so that's something, again, for us to think about as we continue following Jesus in our own lives. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up with prayer. You guys can also join in repeating after me, and then you guys can head down to Kids Church afterwards. All right, let's pray. Holy God, we praise you for the hands of Jesus, all that he does, all that he gives, so that we can be healed, forgiven, and strong. Teach us to see that you made our hands to serve not just me, but others. Amen. All right. You guys can grab a Smartie and head to Kids Church. This morning, our scripture, we're taking a pause from the book of Romans, and we're going all the way to the book of Genesis, part of the familiar story of Noah and the flood, and we're dropping in right at the very end of that story, thinking about God's promises, his covenant with us, in light especially of what we just got to do today. And so our scripture is going to be this morning from Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 through 22. And Genesis chapter 9, 8 through 16. It begins by saying, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up on the earth. Noah then removed the covering of the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, go out of the ark. You and your wife and your sons' wives. Bring every kind of living animal out with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they may multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, all the birds, everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar and sacrificed burnt offerings to the Lord. And taking some of the clean animals and the clean birds, he offered sacrifices to the Lord. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of human beings, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all the creatures that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever the clouds come over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and every living creature of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind." This is God's word to his people. A few days ago, I checked dictionary.com and discovered that there are 17 different definitions for the noun bow. 17. And that doesn't include the verb to bow, or even the homonym, which is the same spelling but different pronunciation, to bow, or like the bow of a ship. Just for the noun bow, there are 17 different things that we use that for. If it pops up here, you will be able to see a couple of examples of bows. Things as you look at them probably are not necessarily things we would all just immediately put in the same category. And yet, the truth is, when it comes to understanding God's word in a place like Genesis chapter 9, God's famous promise to Noah, the sign of the rainbow, it's actually kind of pertinent for us to know, what sort of bow are we talking about? Now, I will admit, it may have just been that I was an odd kid, but did this ever confuse anyone else? God says to Noah, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Now, I will tell you, as a kid, the bow I was most familiar with was the bow that came on presents, you know, Christmas presents, birthday presents, that bow that gets taped on and then you just fling off as you're tearing in, and the one that grandmas usually pick up and save for later to use again. So you picture that kind of bow on a present, and for me, that's a great association. That's always exciting. And yet, to go out after a storm and to look at that band of color in the sky, I mean, it's beautiful, it's fun to spot, but to make you think of a bow on a present, not really. And the truth is, even in the original Hebrew of Genesis, the truth is there's actually not a special word for rainbow. In Hebrew, the literal translation is simply that God set his bow in the clouds. It's just a bow. And so that means that if we want to really know what God is talking about, if you go up and look up the 76 other times this word shows up in the Old Testament, what you find is this, that God's rainbow in Genesis is this kind of bow. It's the weapon bow. It's the bow you use for hunting or battle. And I think if you realize that the rainbow here symbolizes a bow for battle, then I think what you are able to realize is at a deeper level what God is saying in the final scenes of this story of Noah and the flood. That in our passage for today, God promises to Noah, as humanity and all of the animals are starting over, populating the earth, what God is saying is they will never have to fear the annihilation of a flood again. Never again, God says, will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. At least five times, God restates that promise as a solemn vow. And then, finally, God does this other thing. God hangs up his bow. He tells Noah, look, whenever the clouds appear, you will see it. That threat is gone. There it will always hang. God calls it the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. As most of you know, for the past several weeks, we've been examining the foundations of our Christian faith, using as our guide some of the opening Q&As of the Heidelberg Catechism. And yet I thought for today that Talon might take us on a little bit of a detour. It seemed appropriate. And so instead of continuing with that, we're going to actually just jump to a different section of the catechism, specifically the one that deals with our basics when it comes to sacraments, especially the sacrament of baptism. But today our question will be, what does it mean when we say that baptism is a visible holy sign of God's covenant people? I know one thing I've done this year is that in the initial handouts that I've given to parents when we've sat down and talked about baptism, I actually started including on the back page a few of the Q&As from the catechism regarding baptism. And at least a few of the parents have said this is actually kind of helpful to have these short summary statements to some of these basic questions, which, again, for me is interesting how this 450-year-old tool of the catechism can still find ways to prove useful today. So for instance, if today we were simply to ask, what are sacraments? Q&A 66 says, sacraments are visible holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. And this is God's gospel promise, to grant us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. And so what we learn here is that part of the benefit of a sacrament is that it's meant to help us to understand more clearly the promise of the gospel. Or if we're to get more specific on the question of baptism, we can see in question 69, how does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? It says in this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it promised that as surely as water washes away dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No, only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. And I will say, what I really like is I like how the catechism uses that phrase, as surely as. As surely as water washes away dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. I like that phrase because I just think it's such a great way of helping us understand what signs are meant to do, and really also to let us know what they can't do. Because you see, what a sign is meant to do is to help us understand invisible things with something visible. Again, we bump into this all the time in our lives. You're driving down the road and you're headed, say, to Milwaukee, and you see a road sign that says, Milwaukee, 60 miles. And, of course, the thing when you're passing that sign that you certainly cannot see is the city of Milwaukee. But what that sign can tell you is you are on the right road. That city is there at the very end of this road, 60 more miles, and you will see it. And the truth is, in a similar way, the water of baptism does a similar thing. That we know that Jesus washing our souls from sin is not something we can see visibly, but we can easily see the way that water washes away dirt. And so the sign of baptism says, as surely as one is true, you can have faith that the other is also. If you can see what water does, then you can trust what Jesus' Spirit can do for us. And yet, by the same token, I think it's also important how we learn here the limit of a sign. You know, just as we know that a road sign itself can't transport you to Milwaukee, just as we know that rainbows themselves don't prevent floods, we're also clear that just the fact that we pour water on somebody, that doesn't wash a soul. No, the water is a sign. It's a visible picture of what Jesus and only Jesus can do. That baptism isn't salvation. Instead, it's a sign. It's a pointer to the one who saves. But of course, as for one final question we can look at, something that's very pertinent for us today, should infants also be baptized? The answer from the Catechism is yes. Infants as well as adults are included in God's covenant and people. And they, no less than adults, are promised deliverance from sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who produces faith. Therefore, by baptism, the sign of the covenant, they too should be incorporated into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision and was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. And it's here in this answer that we find this particular word. This word that brings us all the way back to Noah, to the ark, to the rainbow. It's that, as the Catechism says today, as we baptize Talon, even as an infant, even though he is clueless about what exactly happened here, we did it because of God's covenant. Now, covenant, that's a pivotal word in the language of Scripture, even if it's one that only pops up sporadically in our own lives. In the Bible, if you're looking for one word to describe what God's desire is for his relationship between us and him, it would be this word, a covenant. Because you see, in the Bible, a covenant is a relationship of commitment that transforms your life and your identity. That a covenant is a relationship of commitment that transforms who you are and what you do. Of course, today we often call marriage a covenant. Obviously, it's a relationship of commitment that'll definitely transform your life, change how you live and how you act. We'll give you some new names, titles, Mr. and Mrs., husband and wife. And even for some of us at a much less significant level, we run into other covenants. If you've ever been part of a homeowners association, sometimes they've got covenants, these agreements that this group is going to live and act in certain ways, handle their differences as they live together. And so for all of these things, all of them have their roots in practices that are thousands of years old, of people declaring their commitment to each other, of pledging trust, of saying, from here on out, you will always be able to count on me. Scripture says that one of the first things that Noah did after he came out of the ark was to build an altar of gratitude for God's love in preserving him and his family. And it says that God was pleased with that offering, that God received what Noah lifted up before him. And yet also, God made this special promise. He said, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy every living creature as I have done. You see, the Bible says that the flood came as a judgment on human evil and violence. And of course, if you read the story of Genesis, one of the things you will quickly find is that Noah and his family, as they progress, those problems didn't simply end with them. The truth is, as the story of humanity goes on, those issues of sin and struggle, they still need to be dealt with. And yet, at this point, when God, still knowing the struggle of our human hearts, in this particular moment, God commits himself to grace. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." As we look at Noah's time and even to our time, do sin and strife still need to be dealt with and defeated? Yes. But to Noah, God gave the assurance that he would rescue his world in a different way. God gives to Noah and his family and even to the animals the promise that despite their struggles, he is going to be with them. He is going to pour out his grace as they fulfill his original commandment to go be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And then for generations to come, as a reminder of that story, that God really has promised us his grace, God says, "And this will be the sign of the covenant I am making between you, me and you, and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds." And God does that even so that even today, as surely as when a storm passes and we see that bright bow in the sky, we too are meant to remember God is committed to his covenant. He will be gracious. God will find a way to save his people and to rescue his world. Of course, as believers today, we get to know a lot more of that story than Noah did. We know that in God's Son, Jesus, every covenant of the Old Testament met its ultimate fulfillment. And so we learn in the gospel, good news, that Jesus is the perfect ark. That when we ask him for salvation, when we are united to him through faith, he is the one who shelters us from the flood of judgment on sin by paying the wrongs of us through himself on the cross. That Jesus' promise is that just as we trust in him, he can make us righteous, completely right with God. And not only that, but just as God sent Noah and his family and the animals out in hope from the ark, Jesus promises us as believers that his Holy Spirit also goes with us, is working in us and through us to make a true difference in our circles today. And for us too, as a sign, as a visible reminder that Jesus also is true to his promise today, to his covenant commitment, what does he say to do? Jesus says, "Go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always." So friends, as Christians, we are meant to be covenant people with God, that through his grace, this relationship of commitment would transform our lives and our identities, including talents, right from the very beginning of his life. And so I think one thing that means for us today is that even though here today we've witnessed something visible, we've seen a baptism, the truth is, as covenant people, we all know that our life still requires faith, believing in what we cannot see. For instance, we know that in the next months and years ahead, we're not going to be able to see what Talon retains. We won't know what part of our care or our prayers or our examples makes any effect on him. What Jesus does in the souls of the youngest in our congregation is always something that's invisible to us. And yet, as surely as we've seen the water, we believe in what the Holy Spirit can do. And so we together have committed to pray and to look for those signs of grace and of faith that God is starting even in the youngest of us. Or I think today also can serve as a reminder of how God's covenant shapes your own identity and the identity of those around you. Because again, by marking today Talon with the mark of Jesus' covenant sign, we're declaring that from here on out, we are treating Talon as God's boy. We're committed to teaching Talon to know God as Father, to know this church as his family of faith. And the truth is, that's not just a good reminder for him. That's a good reminder for all of us. That you and I need to know that as well. That if your faith is in Christ, you too, as you head into this week, be it exciting or daunting, you enter this week not just as you, but you are God's daughter. You are God's son. Remember that the person next to you, because of the covenant commitment of Jesus, they too are a kid of the King. And may we treat each other accordingly. And to conclude, I again think, rather like a rainbow, a baptism too is not something you see every day, but by God's grace, I think we see it often enough. Both of them are simple, visible signs that God has given to us to stir our faith, to remember the story of all that God is doing that we cannot see. And so for every one of us, as you head into a new week, maybe a bit like Noah stepping out of that ark, may the sign of God's covenant be a foundation of hope for all that you do. Amen. Well, in just a minute, we're going to move to our time lifting up the prayers of the church. I've got a few announcements just to make sure that we touch on for today. So next week is our final Sunday. So our offering mission of the month is for Words of Hope. So not only do they supply the devotionals that I know many of you use that are out in the narthex, but they also have an extensive radio ministry that broadcasts in sometimes places that are difficult for people to physically reach. And so that Words of Hope ministry is something that we have an opportunity to support next week with our Mission of the Month offering. So if you want to support that next week, fill out, put your offering in the blue envelope, and you can drop it in the offering box out in the narthex. Speaking of stuff in the narthex, we've also, if you've at all had your interest piqued by this series of going through some of the catechism questions, and you go, it'd be nice to have a copy of that. We do have some copies of the catechism that are available for any amount of a donation. Just throw whatever you want to in the offering box and take one of those catechisms if you would like one. The other thing that you will see out in the narthex is our boxes for Operation Christmas Child. I know I'm talking about gloves and Christmas boxes. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but we've got to be organized. So you can already pick up your boxes for Operation Christmas Child. We do need to have those back by Sunday, November 17th. So you have a good amount of time. We'll have those out in the narthex for the next couple of weeks for people to pick up. The only other thing I want to highlight is RCYF, our high school youth group, this Wednesday is doing our annual food scavenger hunt as a sort of food drive to support the Fox Lake Living Hope Food Pantry. And so we will be running around Randolph Wednesday evening and seeing what kind of food we can pick up from people. If there is anyone who says, I will have food ready, so you can let them know, you can come to my address, just let me know, write something down, send me a note, and we will make sure that those things get picked up. So that's a fun night, and if you say, I've got something ready for you, you can just let me know in preparation for that. Please do that by Tuesday. I believe that's all I have right now. We got several other announcements in the bulletin, so you can check in on that. The other thing is just to bear in mind, we've got a couple of people in particular that we're going to lift up in prayer here. And It's on one of these sheets, but I think I can do it from memory. So we're going to be praying for Don Caperi, who's been dealing with some pretty bad sciatica pain. So we need to be lifting him up in prayer. Norma Smedema had a fall this week that we will be praying for her, and Donna DeYoung as well. And, oh man, there is a fourth one. Somebody can just yell it out if they know what it is. Okay. No, those are the ones. Those are the ones we're going to focus on. All right. And of course, we're all kinds of other situations that I may not know about, but we trust as we lift up together the prayers of the church that my words spoken and your words in your heart are all things that we lift up to God. So let's join together in prayer. Almighty, good, and gracious Father, Lord, we come before you using that word because your Son has invited us. Lord, through his grace and love, he has welcomed us, earned us the right of adoption. Lord, to be sons and daughters along with him, to call you Abba, Father. And Father, we want to see that privilege of seeing you as Father, of trusting in your almighty hand, of relying on your grace and living in hope of your power at work both in us and in this world. Lord, we want to see that extended to more and more people in our lives. And Lord, today we thank you and praise you for the hope we have for Talon as we have baptized him into this church. Lord, we thank you for his parents. Lord, for the family and the community that surrounds him. And again, we pray that your Holy Spirit would already be at work in all of these ways that we cannot see, as we have in this very simple way trusted that through the visible sign that you have given us of baptism, Lord, that we also believe in the power of your Holy Spirit to touch his life and to touch our lives. Lord, I pray for us as a covenant family together, that you would continue to teach us more and more to see one another as brothers and sisters, to encourage each other, to walk with one another, to laugh and celebrate when we see triumphs, and Lord, to also be willing to help and bear one another's burdens when we go through difficulties. Lord, we think in particular of the people that we've just mentioned, Don Caperi and Donna DeYoung. Lord, for Norma, Lord, we thank you for who they are in our church, and we pray that you would lift them out of these places of struggle and pain. Lord, we also think of Butch Didvik, too, as he is feeling some of the effects of the cancer that he is dealing with as well. And Lord, we just pray for your strength and your grace to be at work in their lives and in the lives of so many other people that we think of and lift up their names on a regular basis. Lord, for every name that I don't know, Lord, for every situation that comes to our minds as we lift them up together, I pray that as a family, that our appeals to you, Lord, we would see your goodness and your grace working through these situations. Lord, we believe in your power to redeem. Lord, we also pray for all of the areas of this community that we represent. As you send us into this week, Lord, may we go in the peace and the confidence of knowing that we do not go alone, that our Lord Jesus has promised us that he will be with us always. And I pray that you would give us eyes to see where his Spirit is doing things that we do not expect. Lord, is working healing and grace in places where we did not know how to bring a solution. Lord, I pray that we would live as people of incredible hope and people of incredible courage as we seek to lift one another up, to speak your truth into this world, and to hold out the hope that comes through the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as we come to the end of our service, again, I'm going to invite you to rise. We're going to turn in the gray hymnals that are in the pews in front of you, in the gray hymnals to number 404, the Solid Rock, and we're going to sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4 of number 404. the solid rock. Let's rise and sing together. Friends, as you go from this place into the week that God has called you into, go with his blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen.